I'm going to talk about the survey. This is kind of like a preliminary survey. We conducted more after this one, but I'm just going to present the data from the first survey. This is a consumer demand and willingness to pay for U.S. green tea survey. And you can see we have a team from LSU Ag Center working on a tea project. We were founded with the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry Specialty Crop Block Grant last year. But we actually started the survey before that. Since I'm the first speaker, so I'm going to talk a little bit about tea. I know Dr. Donglin Zhang, he's sitting in the back. He's going to give you all a better overview of the history and the current commercial production, tea production in the U.S. So basically, Camellia sinensis, this is an evergreen shrub that used for tea production. And from the left hand to the right hand, as you can tell, you can make different types of tea, either white tea or green tea or black tea, from the same bush. And of course, there are so many varieties that Dr. Donglin is going to talk about. So there are certain varieties suitable for making green tea, certain varieties suitable for making brick tea, but literally you can make different types of tea out of one bush. So on the top, you can see that's to make very easy for homeowners and for beginner tea growers, very easy sun-dried white tea. On the bottom, that's Black Magnolia. It's branded name from the Great Mississippi Tea Company. That's how they doing the withering, rolling, and oxidization, and drying, and finally making a black tea. Tea production in the U.S. Is picking up, very exciting about how many growers we have seen over, new growers we have seen over the last 3 years. Currently, it's 18 states, but I was just told by Jason McDonald, the owner of the Great Mississippi Tea Company, is 20. So, and as you can see, there's probably more than 10 growers in Hawaii, and they have their own grower association and is supported by two research stations under University of Hawaii, several university faculty members supporting research and supporting the industry with research and extension. On the continental part, we have the United States League of Tea Growers. This is the grower association more for the continental part, and we have had more than like 4 or 5 tea processing workshops. Very informative, great information given out. And as I said already, there are several universities across the southeastern region currently starting tea research. Some examples, the J&D Blueberry Farm and the Great Mississippi Tea Farm, both of these are in Mississippi. Their acreage has been increasing dramatically, significantly over the past 2 or 3 years. And in Louisiana, I meet, we had a new company registered last year, the Fleur-de-Lis Tea Farm. They started with 900 bushes, and Dr. David Barron is on the on the left of the photo in the bottom, he's planting another 2,000 tea bushes this year. And there's Dr. Jeb Fields. He's our new commercial ornamental and landscape extension specialist. Okay, for our survey, the survey instrument development took early, like 2013 or 2014, and we developed a short survey with Dr. Kiki Fontenot from LSU. It was only 8 questions at the beginning. We wanted to keep it was one page. And then Dr. Brandley Richard, she developed a more extensive long survey. And for this study, we kind of combined the survey and trying to make it kind of like somewhere middle, and not too long, not too extensive, but still cover the most interesting questions that our growers may want to know. So there are 2 yes or no questions at the beginning. That's an exclusion of any non-tea drinkers. And there are 7 questions on specific consumption habits. And then there's 3 purchasing preference. And then there's a little bit demographic background questions. The survey participants, for the first survey that we're going to show the data, there are a total of 215 completed surveys, and the age of the participants range from 43 to 83 with an average of 63. This is because this specific group are all master gardeners. We started with them because they understand what we're doing. They know there currently there are tea research, there are tea available or in the near future available domestically. And the gender is basically majority of them are female. So this is a very specific survey population. The first question was exclusive. So basically we asked them, do you, you know, what type of beverage you consume? And 93% consume tea with this specific age group, which is very encouraging to see. And then we asked them, what is your motivation for drinking tea? And many of them answered taste good as the number one, and then health benefits, people are aware of that, and also relaxation, enjoying the process of preparing and drinking tea. And what your expectation for your future consumption, the majority will remain the same, 70% will remain the same, and 20% will be increasing, which is good. They're a little bit decreasing because they're getting to the age they feel, you know, I need to consume maybe light caffeinated beverage, but overall it's going to be still increasing with this age group. So for tea drinkers, where do you usually purchase your tea? You know, we want to figure out where's the majority and where's the new trend. As you can tell, we have 84% from retail store or supermarkets, and then there are 48%. This is to select all that apply. So the total altogether is going to be more than 100%. But there's a majority of them are from supermarkets. And almost half also consume tea at restaurants. I just want to point out, it's kind of like exciting to see specialty tea and coffee shops. These are the where you can purchase loose leaf tea or specific name brand tea to make, even they're in a bag, to make your own drink. So this is kind of like still encouraging to see, and also there's online, even with this age group, there's online purchase. For tea drinkers, we also ask them, what form do you already buy tea? Still, the tea bag for this age group, 82%. So our growers need to pay attention, you know, especially with their mechanically harvested tea leaf that will be hard to make a loose tea, high quality loose tea. This will still be their major a market. And the loose leaf tea is still encouraging, 19%. That's still very encouraging. That was higher than what we expected. And here is the bottle tea from the Mississippi Poplarville tea farm that actually has 20 tea bags per tin, and that's sold at a farmer's market or retail supermarket at $6, about $6 per 20 bags. For tea drinkers, in what form do you consume tea the most? Still, iced tea is the most consumed tea. So our growers need to make sure when they do the quality assessment, it's going to be not just hot tea. There are internationally published standard for sensory quality, how to assess sensory quality of tea, and most of those are developed for tasting tea as a hot tea. And our growers need to pay attention for the quality, how it tastes when it's iced. And also many participants indicate they do drink hot tea, which is still encouraging. So for bagged tea or loose tea, both of them, I would recommend the growers to do the quality assessment both as a hot tea and as iced tea. And this is a very important question, is what are the most important factors influencing your purchasing decision? So we give them seven choices, and they can rank them from as number one to number seven. So if you look at the average rating One would be the most important, seven would be the least important. But because this is average score, so it tends to be somewhere in the middle, and here is from 2 to 5. And still, the quality and availability and cost, these are ranked relatively in that more important group statistically versus the other four questions. So locally grown, grown in the U.S., certified in organic, not organic but with sustainable practices, these were ranked lower, you know, still, you know, so the quality is the number one, and availability and price. And now we're getting into preference questions. Where do you prefer your tea leaf to be grown? This is based on the pre-assumption that we tell them locally grown tea are available. They have to be available for them to choose for this question. Still, 70% says it doesn't matter. I don't care where is the origin. And there are about 17% plus 10%, 27% says they do care. They prefer it to be grown locally or in the U.S. The second preference question is how likely you are to purchase certified organic or sustainably produced tea. So these two are a little bit different. The certified organic, usually these are more expensive, more pricey, and sustainably produced, these are, you can still make a statement on your branding. These are sustainably produced. That means you have the environmental and also the all the residual tested. And as you can see, that there is a huge difference in terms of the preference. The light blue indicate very likely, and the orange indicate likely. So if you compare the light blue, there's still like 40%, you know, very likely they would purchase and maybe willing to pay a little bit more for sustainably produced. And there are fewer numbers of participants said they would very likely to purchase the certified organic. I lose my pointer. Okay, here. But together, very likely and likely, altogether, the sustainably produced was somewhere 75%. So that seems like very important for the consumers to know whether or not the tea is sustainably grown. Lose my pointer again. And this is the last question. Assuming imported tea are priced at $10 per ounce with the same quality, how much would you be willing to pay for the same amount of tea made from the tea leaf grown in the U.S.? And we actually marked this by dollar amount. So based on the $10, we marked it as 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, as you see on the bottom. And the questionnaire I give you all as a handout this morning, that's the second version. We changed that question because we feel it's kind of like giving a dollar value on that question. It's kind of like making people thinking about actual dollar. And so in that second version, we change it to percentage, as you can see, which is more kind of like giving them whichever, you know, the imported value is, we'll be willing to pay additional percentage. So it was increasing like that. So this question, as you can see, most of the people in that orange range would like to stay the same. They don't want to pay more for U.S. grown tea. They want it to be in the same range. So that's about 55-56% of the participants. And if you can see all the other colors indicating that they're willing to pay more, from the gray, yellow to the dark blue, and this composed about 40% of the participants, they're willing to pay more. And the majority is still only willing to pay more, like we think that 10 to 15% range. So the take-home message is just for Louisiana, with this specific population, the retail stores and restaurants are still the major places people are purchasing tea. So our specialty tea shop, online store, and farmers market, these venues, they need to promote tea or locally grown tea if they want to approach this age group. And the second message is domestically produced tea need to have a stability in both quality and yield. This is the most important for our consumer. Any questions? Yes. Define sustainably produced. I would say this is more under that the growers can say we are doing IPM, we're doing water management, that we don't overwater, or we are aware of environmental consequences applying chemicals, or we are using partially organic, not organically certified, but we try our best to do partially organic. So it's not, there's really not a specific, you know, degree. So there were various levels of sustainability you can go, but I think people will pay attention if you have a statement, something like that. And it has to be true, you can make it up.